time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, is here. We're going back to Afghanistan. Afghanistan in the hands of the Taliban, who are monsters to the Afghan people. Enough said. We don't need to prove it. What is to be done? We welcome someone who is going to help us understand that there's a resistance. Will Selber, retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. He's a contributor to the Long War Journal, kept by Bill. He's also the grumpy combat veteran you can find on Substack. But right now, Will is filed on Long War Journal, where you can follow along a piece about something I did not know existed until I read this. The Afghan resistance movement has many faces. One of them is led by Yassin Zia. So there's a photograph showing Yassin Zia greeting an Afghan National Army commando in Kabul in 2020. So Zia is a veteran of the Afghan National Army. Who are these guys and where are they? Will, a very good evening to you. Who are these guys and where are they? Good evening.
Well, thank you so much for first having me on. I'm a big fan of your show. So Yassin Zia, like you described, he was the former chief of general staff for the Afghan National Army, basically almost the entire last year of the war, of America's war in Afghanistan, from 2020 to 2021. So that's basically the equivalent of the U.S. chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. Yassin Zia was also at the same time the acting minister of defense as well, because Asadullah Khalid, who was the former minister of defense, was in the Middle East getting surgery done the whole last year. So Yassin Zia was very busy the last year of the war. He also has served inside the National Directorate of Security, which was the former government before the Taliban's, their premier intelligence service. And he also has served as the governor of Takhar, which is in northern Afghanistan, following the Taliban's brief capture of Kunduz City in 2015. So he leads a organization called the Afghan Freedom Front, and it's basically one of two of the anti-Taliban resistance groups that are active on the battlefield right now. Yassin Zia announced the formation of this group in March of 2022. Now, according to them, their total amount of attacks, about 322 attacks, and since the start of this year, they're claiming 78 operations, so 78 attacks, resulting in 239 Taliban killed, including four Taliban commanders and about 147 wounded. And over the last year, what we've seen is an uptick in attacks against the Taliban from the anti-Taliban resistance, which the Afghan Freedom Front is a part of, although they are not a unified anti-Taliban resistance. There's basically two groups, Ahmad Massoud's National Resistance Front, and he is the son of Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was the famed leader of the Northern Alliance, who was the Al-Qaeda assassinated a couple of days before 9/11. So those two are the main groups that are conducting attacks against the Taliban. The ones that are actually trying to overthrow the Taliban and are active are these two groups. There are some smaller players on the battlefield, but these are really the two biggest ones, sir.
Bill, you have a question.
Will, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure. What differentiates the Afghanistan Freedom Front from the national, the NRF, Massoud's NRF? And what is the scope of the operations? Where are the majority of the attacks being taken place by the Afghanistan Freedom Front?
So both the National Resistance Front and the Afghanistan Freedom Front, they're kind of similar. Massoud have the military background that General Yasin Zia has, obviously. I think it's fair to say that they probably have a little bit more support. They have a little bit of a better public media outward-facing organization, so they have a little bit more financial backing, and that's probably because of Massoud's father, and he's probably able to tap into the fundraising apparatus that he used. Both of them really focus a lot of their attacks around Kabul, but they've also conducted attacks, you know, in about 10 provinces. Some of them we've been able to verify with some of their videos. Now, the Afghanistan Freedom Front, they've conducted operations, you know, they conducted an indirect fire attack on Kabul International Airport. This was in mid-October, I believe. And there is video of that attack that looks to be verified. And they've also done a lot of assassinations over the last 3 years. But over the last, I think, 6 months, you've seen some of their sophistication of their attacks gone up. More IEDs, bombings specifically targeting the Taliban from checkpoints to intelligence services. And the Afghanistan Freedom Front does not conduct attacks at a higher rate than the National Resistance Front, but we've definitely seen them increase their attacks, and the sophistication and lethality of their attacks has gone up. And I think one of the reasons why is because Yasin Zia has a stronger tie into the former Afghan National Security Forces, because he led them in combat in multiple arenas. And so I think that might be one of the reasons why you've seen that. So there's a lot of similarities. They laid out this whole manifesto of the Freedom Front, published in 2024. It basically espouses a lot of the same Western-oriented values that the former government did as well. And so there's some similarities. They have, you know, published joint statements together saying cooperating, but they are not under a unified front. They operate independently of each other.
It is said, written, that tactics are for amateurs, logistics are for pros. Who is the arsenal? What is the arsenal? What is the resupply? Where is the basing that is out of reach of the Taliban, Will? Do we know?
I don't know for certain. They did not provide, probably for operational security reasons. My hunch is that they've used some of the Central Asian states, maybe Tajikistan, that has a little bit of a strained relationship with Afghanistan. And because General Zia was a former governor of Takhar, and also Ahmad Massoud was, you know, utilizing his father's networks, they might be basing some of their ammo and stuff like that in other countries, maybe Tajikistan. And then they probably have some safe houses and caches across the country that they've been able to establish. They don't have any district centers. They don't control a large area. They haven't captured anything yet. So right now they're really on the first phase, but they're starting to increase their attacks and who they're going after. But how many fighters they have, both of the organizations, and I've talked to both of leadership inside both organizations. I served with General Yasin Zia the last year in Afghanistan. I know him fairly well. I think that both of these organizations are starting to get a little bit stronger in their attacks, but they're still not a existential threat to the Taliban.
Bill, we have about a minute.
Will, unity between the resistance organizations will be key to their success. And the Taliban certainly taught us this. What is the National Resistance Front, the Afghanistan Freedom Front, as well as the Afghan United Front from uniting? And what will it take to overcome these issues?
Yeah, this is the big problem. And this is something that they're going to have to overcome. You've mentioned Lieutenant General Sami Sadat's, the Afghanistan United Front. They have yet to conduct operations, or at least publicly state they've conducted operations in Afghanistan. Sami Sadat was the former corps commander in Helmand Province. So what's preventing them from uniting? There might be some bad blood between them. And I think that is something that has plagued. They plagued the Afghan government the last year when competing power centers were feuding with each other instead of unifying against the Taliban. So they're going to have to figure something out, and somebody's going to have to basically allow somebody else to be the overall leader. And that's always a very difficult thing, you know, for Ahmad Massoud, maybe even for, you know, Sami Sadat or Yasin Zia. Somebody's going to have to be in charge, or they're going to have to come up with a council to make decisions between all three of them. There was a little bit of precedence in this. The Peshawar 7, which was the Mujahideen group that we tried to organize, or the Pakistan ISI tried to organize against the Russian government or the Soviet Union. They kind of had a similar structure, but it's going to be a very difficult thing. And it's one of the things they're going to have to overcome. They're going to have to unify if they really want to have a chance at overthrowing the Taliban.
Will Selber, for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy Long War Journal. He's also a grumpy combat veteran at Substack. Bill Raggio, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. About Afghanistan now. When we come back, Afghanistan then. What is to be done?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
By the end of another busy day, with commuting and after-school pickups complete, it could feel like you've driven halfway across Ohio. For fuel rewards members at Shell, that running around translates into savings at the pump. Earn rewards on fuel, snacks, dining out, and more. Earn 10 cents per gallon off when you reach platinum status, with opportunities to stack rewards for even more savings. Visit fuelrewards.com/join25 and sign up today. At participating merchants and Shell locations, limit 20 gallons. Restrictions apply. Visit fuelrewards.com for more information.
Delta Airlines just turned 100 and is already shaping the next century of flight with the Delta Sustainable Skies Lab. Here, they're building the future of flight. Think electric air taxis and next-gen aircraft aiming to cut fuel burn significantly. And this isn't just future talk. Today, their fleet of Boeing 737s have marine-like finlets designed to reshape airflow that reduces drag. The future of travel is more sustainable, and Delta's leading the way. Learn more at delta.com/sustainability.
Love the night? Reach for Zin After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zin's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers, available while supplies last. Zin After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.